This is Blank on Blank. I'm David Gerlach, and thank you for joining us as we build this archive of the American interview. Today's Blank on Blank has to do with initiations into adulthood. Now, there are the religious rites of passage, confirmations, bar mitzvahs, quinceañeras. There are the social initiations, veterans razzing the new crop of rookies on the team, pledges, haze before joining a sorority or a fraternity. And then there are the unexpected initiations, when the newcomer realizes it really is a big bad world out there, and things aren't always what they seem. Well, that's exactly what happened to Egypt Sherrod. She's a high priestess of radio in the largest media market in the country. Here she is behind the mic.
Welcome, Angie Stone, to the building.
How you doing, girl?
It's been too long.
Now, Egypt has interviewed all the names in hip-hop and R&B music. She's at all the big parties. She hosts TV shows.
These bartenders have agreed to battle it out to find out who's the best. This is Bartender Wars.
But before she was a big talker, there was a time when she didn't want to say anything at all. Egypt had lunch with blogger Dana Rock and told her about one of the few things she has never shared on air, one of the few things her listeners have never heard. It was about her abrupt introduction to adulthood while Egypt was a college freshman in the big city, New York. This is Blank on Blank.
When I was a teenager, I made some pretty stupid decisions. It's not smart moves. I was very naive and I thought I knew it all, like many of us do. You can't tell me anything. I've lived. I know. I'm grown. I have breasts. You know what I mean? And I was here in New York. This is my first year in college at NYU. I had a fake ID. I was going to the Tunnel nightclub, you know. And I met a guy. He, at the time, he gave me his nickname. And he was just adorable. He was so cute. And, you know, my girlfriends that were with me, like, oh my God, girl, he's so fine. You better get that number. Give me a number. And we talked on the phone a few times and decided to go on a date. He took me out to Brooklyn. And then he wanted to stop by and pick up one of his friends. He had to pick up something for one of his friends. And so we're at a hotel. He's like, come on in, I'll introduce you. I'm like, all right, it's cute. Excuse me, we just gone to juniors, you know. Mm-hmm. But when we get to the hotel room, there was no friend there. There was a gun there. Mm-hmm. And he raped me by gunpoint and beat me terribly. And left me. Turns out I was in Bed-Stuy, and I had really no money, you know, but I think I had like $12 on me, and I called a cab company. When a guy got there, I explained what happened, and he took me back because I didn't want to call the cops. So many things, and when you look back on situations like that, you're like, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I do that? But there's no reason why at the time. It's just your whole state of mind can be twisted, you know? And I just wanted to go. All I can remember was I just want to get back to my dorm and go to sleep. I want to get in the shower and go to sleep. When I got back, my roommates saw me. They saw my face. And, you know, they called the resident, what do you call it?
Director.
Person in charge of my dorm. And the next morning, they had me go over to the hospital because really it was already like 4 o'clock in the morning. So they had me go over to the hospital and they did the whole, you know, rape kit and everything, and the whole time it seems so surreal because you read about that stuff and you hear about it, but you never think it can happen to you in the blink of an eye, ever. And I remember laying there staring at the ceiling as they were checking me out, and you know how uncomfortable that can be for women, right? When you go to the GYN, and I'm staring at the ceiling, and I'm like, this really happened to me. I've become a statistic. You know, I have. I've become one of these girls that I read about and whose lives are messed up and they never want to have sex and never have, you know, a good relationship with a man because they can't trust. And I mean, all these things were going through my mind at the time. And then I was like, oh my God, how am I going to tell my parents? How am I going to tell my family? You know, how am I? And what I didn't realize at the time was a hematoma had developed because I wasn't going to tell anybody. I really wasn't. Not my girlfriends, nobody. Like my roommates knew and the hospital knew. And that was it. And then the cops came over to the hospital, and they're asking me his name, and they're asking me all these things, and I felt so stupid because I didn't know his real name. His name was Nut. Right, I didn't know how did I go out with this man, and I didn't know his first and last name.
Right.
Well, what kind of car did he drive? Well, what was the license plate? I don't know the license plate. What's his number? I gave him a number, but it wasn't even, you know, like a real number for somebody. You know what I mean? It was somebody else's phone. And, well, where were you? I don't know where I was. Turns out I was in Bed-Stuy, but I don't even know what block. I don't know where hotel. Yeah. I don't know. So I felt like an idiot, you know? But I really think that experience made me who I am today, because I feel like I'm sharp, I'm alert, I study people, I study things. And it made me stronger as a person to be able to get through that.
That was Egypt Sherrod on The Date That Went Wrong, and this is Blank on Blank. I want to thank blogger Dana Rock for adding her interview to the archive. Check out her multimedia work at danarock.com. Now for more of our interviews that you can hear nowhere else, head over to blankonblank.org. I'm David Gerlach. Keep listening.